My father has died. Twice. Where is he resting now? By all the great athletes of the world.
By the television, on our couch, in the living room.
My father is an amazing man, and in my mind, he is invincible. I've heard of cats having 9 lives, and of people having second chances, but I've never heard of anyone escaping more brushes with death than my father. My father served in Vietnam twice as a gunner's mate in the Navy. He survived without a scratch.
Being in Vietnam was 95% nothing but boring, and then 5% was pure panic and terror. You don't know. The noises, the smells, the people yelling and screaming and running around, and it's pure chaos and panic.
Did you know? 58,148 people were killed in Vietnam. 75,000 were severely disabled. 5,283 lost limbs. Of those killed, 61% were younger than 21 years old. Although my father was only 20 years old when he first went to Vietnam, he did not fall prey to any of these statistics. He beat the odds and returned to the States to lead an even more amazing life.
Were you ever hurt any time during the battles?
No.
Not even a scratch?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nothing.
How do you think you were able to come away without a scratch when so many people were hurt in Vietnam?
Just lucky. Right place at the right time, right set of circumstances, and just pure luck.
You're a lucky duck, huh?
I guess.
A few years later, on one rainy night, my father was struck by lightning while taking a shower in his home.
What happened was lightning hit the power lines going to my house, followed it down to the electrical box, jumped across from the electrical box to the metal shower stall, and created this little ball of fire that was zinging around inside the shower stall while I was in there. The part that was lucky for me was that the base of the shower stall was rubber, so it didn't conduct electricity. So as long as I didn't touch the metal sides of the shower, I was okay. But this little ball, like the size of a small golf ball or something, was zipping around inside the shower stall.
Did you know Americans are twice as likely to die from lightning than from a hurricane, tornado, or flood? FEMA estimates there are approximately 200 deaths and 750 severe injuries from lightning each year in the U.S. 20% of all lightning victims die from the strike. 70% of survivors will suffer serious long-term effects. Even with all those risks and the chance of death or long-term effects, my father survived unscathed. Once again, I'm convinced he's invincible. Many years later, my father grew up to have a successful career and to be a loving husband and a caring father of 3 girls, which is definitely a feat in itself. He had lived for many years without having any more close calls with death, until one dark, chilly spring evening. The night was March 12, 1996. I was 8 years old, laying happily on my belly in my favorite red flannel nightgown, watching the television in my family room. I can vividly remember the television program I was watching, Rescue 911, a show about strange incidents that police had responded to. In the program, a young child of about 3 years old had fallen from a second-story window and had broken his arm from the fall. I was so engrossed in the program that I didn't even realize there was a real 911 emergency in our living room, about 20 feet away from the place that I was laying. I don't remember much about the actual accident itself, so my memory is based on what I'm told from my mother, who witnessed the whole ordeal firsthand.
I was sitting at the kitchen bar stool watching you, watching TV. Heard the door open, but instead of hearing the door close and saying, "Hey, how you doing?" and getting an answer, I heard a big thud and I heard a lamp crashing and falling down and breaking on the living room floor. So not being able to see into the living room from there, totally, I grabbed the phone that was right on the counter had already started dialing the police even before I got in here and knew that I needed the police. Instinct told me that something was wrong. Your father was laying on the floor, face down, hat and coat still on, feet or shoes were off, which told me he bent down to take his shoes off and might be why he passed out, because he used to get dizzy if he passed out, if he bent over. So then, trying to talk to dispatch and see if your father was breathing. At the same time, Tricia came upstairs, and I didn't want her alarmed or upset. So I had her take the phone, and then I was trying to, you know, I could see the color was turning blue already. He was losing, he wasn't breathing.
How long was Dad's heart stopped for that night? Do you remember what the paramedic said?
Well, the cop got here probably within 5 minutes and immediately realized how bad it was and put oxygen on him. So even though his heart was still stopped, the oxygen was keeping his brain viable. It kept him oxygen in his system. Probably, I would say, it had to be 20 minutes he was out altogether. Two or three times they tried resuscitation, and then they tried, manually, and then with the paddle, they go back and forth. They have to go back and forth, one then the other. And they were getting absolutely nothing, 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 nothing. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, boom. And not only did it come back, but according to the paramedics, it came back like, wow, that's good to have been up that long to come back that strong. But he was in a coma. He was still in a coma.
And the whole time, I was watching Rescue 911 while there was real live paramedics in my own living room. It took me a few years to understand that irony. Did you know? For victims of sudden cardiac death, brain damage can start to occur in just 4 to 6 minutes after the heart stops pumping blood. It is estimated that about 95% of sudden cardiac arrest victims die before reaching the hospital. The sudden cardiac arrest survival rate is only 2 to 5% if defibrillation is provided more than 12 minutes after the collapse. My father beat all of these statistics. Although his heart was stopped for 15 minutes or more before being given defibrillation, he did not die before reaching the hospital, and he did not have any long-term brain damage. He was one of the 2 to 5% that survived after being dead for more than 12 minutes after his collapse. I can vividly remember my older sister, Tricia, coming in to tell me about my father's accident. At this point in my life, I did not get along very well with her, so I honestly thought she was lying to me, plotting to get me to leave the room so she could monopolize the television. I never thought once that she could be telling the truth, that my young father, my strong hero, my pillar of strength, had been taken to the hospital. I didn't believe her until I saw my father's soft blue jacket lying in the middle of our floor, ripped to shreds by the paramedics who had to tear it off my father's chest in order to provide treatment. At the time, the only thing I could think of was that they had ruined my father's favorite coat, and he'd be so sad not to be able to wear it anymore. My young mind could not comprehend how important the ripping of that coat was, how this was not a normal night. All I knew was that something was wrong, and I was supposed to be sad. I fell asleep that night clutching that soft blue coat and crying, but more out of confusion than anything else. My father had to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks afterwards as he recovered from this near-death experience. To my younger sister and I, ages 7 and 8, we thought that his progress was funny and it was interesting to observe. He had temporary memory loss for a while after the incident. He would repeat questions and stories, and he kind of slurred his words when he spoke. As young girls, we thought it was amusing to call him Forrest Gump. Cruel, I know, but I think it was the only way we knew how to make sense of the situation. Eventually, my father fully recovered after several surgeries and some therapy. He had narrowly escaped death without anything more than a scar on his chest and leg to show for it. I didn't realize it at the time, but I never realized how lucky we were to have only Forrest Gump syndrome for just a couple of weeks before my father recovered full brain function.
Forrest Gump was a college football star. He was a war hero. He was an Olympic ping pong champion. He was a multi-millionaire businessman. Being called Forrest Gump is not is a Absolutely.
Do you think you have all those accomplishments that you were a ping pong player?
Do I have them all? No. Not at all.
You have your own list, though, right, Danny?
The only thing I do is top like them.
Fast forward 12 years to August 18th, 2008, a hot, humid summer day. I was at Chili's eating lunch with my boyfriend with the plans of visiting my father at the Erie County Fair. While paying the bill, I received a frantic phone call from my younger sister, Missy. At first, I couldn't understand what she was saying. After a few minutes of tearful exclamations, I heard Dad in hospital and immediately feared the worst. My father had another episode of cardiac death while working at the lottery booth at the Erie County Fair. He had been walking across the fair to give a birthday card to a friend, and when he returned to his booth, he did not feel well.
I did feel a tightness in my chest. I felt, I don't say really, not chest pains, but like a squeezing sensation in my chest. And then I noticed that I was sweating a lot, and it was in an air-conditioned space, and then I got lightheaded again and dizzy, and that's the last thing I remember.
Did you know? Usually the first sign of sudden cardiac arrest is loss of consciousness or fainting. At the same time, no heartbeat or pulse can be felt. Some people may have a racing heartbeat or feel dizzy or lightheaded just before they faint. Prior to the incident, some people may have chest pain, shortness of breath, nausea, or vomiting. According to his coworkers, my father started sweating profusely. He placed his hands on the counter and then he collapsed. Within seconds, his face began turning blue, his skin cold and clammy. Luckily, fate was on his side again this day. A nurse who was in line to buy lottery tickets witnessed the incident and jumped in to do CPR on my father. Ironically, as she was working hard to help save my father's life, a stranger stole her money that she was going to use to buy the lottery tickets. I wonder how greedy that person must have been to steal the money from a woman who was working on saving someone's life. It was not long before the firefighters, who were set up in the building across the way from the lottery building, came over with an AED to deliver the charge that saved my father's life. Again. He spent a short time in the hospital and had a small surgery to install an individual defibrillator in his chest, in case his heart ever goes into cardiac arrest again. After a short stay in the hospital, my father was able to walk away unscathed. Without fate being on his side, and without the nurse and the fireman that helped to save my father's life, he might not have been so lucky. However, he was. He had escaped death once again. To me, my father is a superhero. This December, he will be 61 years old, and he has lived longer than any of the male members of his family have ever lived. He is healthy and happy, enjoying life with his loving and grateful family. After living through two tours in Vietnam, being struck by lightning, and two incidents of cardiac death, my father is alive and living well. I couldn't be any more grateful for second chances.
Do you think Dan's some kind of superhuman?
No, I think he's at nine lives. He got electrocuted. He had two deaths. He got hit by a deer in the middle of the night in Ohio, driving 70 miles an hour. Could still drive the car. I mean, not only was he alive, he could still drive the car. And then when he married me, and that doesn't kill him, nothing's going to kill him. He's almost used up nine lives. Yeah.
Better be careful now, huh?
This is for you, Daddy. I love you.